Alleluia. 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 Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. Jesus says, I will ask God to send you another companion who will be with you, who will be in you. I am in God and I am in you and you are in me. In this wonderful mutual indwelling, we worship trusting that God worships in us, with us, and for us. In that grace, we open our hearts to the presence of God.
God of love, in times of uncertainty, you are certain. We praise you. When we feel unlovely, you are loving. We thank you. When we feel empty, you are the beauty that fills us and flows out through us into the world. We worship you and open our hearts that the love you plant in our souls with the grace of your Spirit and the presence of Christ may blossom, flourish, and bear fruit. Amen.
Fill me, Spirit, fill me now. Fill me, Spirit, with your precious holy power. I am yours, my love, to do with as you will. So fill me, Spirit, right now. Heal me, Jesus. Heal me now. Heal me, Jesus, with your precious holy power. I am yours, my love, to do with as you will. So heal me, Jesus, right now. Lead me, Spirit, lead me now. Lead me, Spirit, with your precious holy power. I am yours, my love, to do with as you will. So lead me, Jesus, right now. Okay, it's time for the children. Where are the kids? Come on, get back in the room. Mom and Dad, go call the kids. Hey, hey, Tanner, Ollie, get back in here. Griffin, Eden, come here, come here. Charlotte, where are you? Come on, look, you're on. This is your time. It's the Ben, Zeke, and Owen hour. It's the time when we get to spend time together, even though we're not together. That's so weird, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm watching my grandchildren on FaceTime every now and then. And what I imagine is they are getting to spend more time with Mom and Dad than they usually do, because Mom and Dad are always home. And Tanner and Owen and Maggie are always home. And I bet Owen and Zeke and Ben are always home. And I bet Nathan's always there. And man, oh man, John just like doesn't get to get away. And Mom doesn't get to get away. And poof, there we all are. It's different, isn't it? But they're still Mom and Dad, aren't they? They're still the same people. Your parents might feel even more than you like this time that we're going through right now is really weird. For you, it's not really weird because you're home a lot and that's where you live anyway. But for your parents, it might feel even weirder than it feels for you. But they're still your parents, and you still love each other. I haven't seen my grandchildren for a long time, but they're still my grandchildren. I haven't seen my boys for a long time, but they're still my boys. And you know, the weird thing about my boys is they used to be the kids who would sit right here. Little Dan and Aaron and Jonathan, they would be right here. Well, now they're in their 30s, so they've changed. But it's still Dan and Aaron and Jonathan. They're still the same people, even though they've changed. When all these weird things in the world change and everything gets weird and your parents sigh and say, oh, man, I don't know if it's ever going to get back to normal. I have to start telling people, you know, let's not think of it getting back to normal. When they talk about the new normal, I say, let's just think about the new crazy. It's going to be weird forever. But even when things change, some things stay the same. So part of what helps us when things change is to stop and say, well, what's not different? My mom and dad still love me. I can still make forts in the living room. There are things that are still the same. Because all through your life, things are going to change. You will change and the world around you will change. But God won't change. God will just keep loving you no matter what. That never changes, never goes away. You can be a terrible person and God will still love you. Awful things can happen to you and God will still be right there with you. That will not change. So it helps us when we remember that even when everything changes, some things don't change. Love is something that just doesn't change. It stays there no matter what. In fact, in billions of years, when the earth is gone, when the sun is gone, love will still be there. Isn't that cool? Oh, God is so good. I think we should say thank you to God. Should we say thank you to God? Let's say a prayer and let's all hold hands. We'll hold imaginary hands. And we will pray, God, we thank you that even when everything changes, your love doesn't go away. Let's pray. God, we thank you that even when everything changes, your love doesn't go away. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. God has taken away the judgments against you. The Holy One has turned away your accusers. The Keeper of Israel, the Holy One, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. God, the Holy One, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. God will rejoice over you with gladness. The Beloved will renew you in deep love and will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach from it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the wounded and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Holy One. The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Psalter, Psalm 31. In you, O God, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever act shamefully. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For the sake of your delight, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, Holy One, O faithful God. I will not pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Beloved. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my difficulties, and have not delivered me into the hand of my weakness. You have set my feet in a spacious place.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's gospel. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will let my love flow through you. And I will ask God, who will give you another companion to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because the world doesn't see the Spirit or know the Spirit. But you know her because she abides with you and is in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will not see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And in that way, you will know that I am in God and you are in me and I am in you. Those who have my love will let it flow, and they will love me, and God will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, in a little workshop by a river in a small mountain village, a master craftsman made the most beautiful brass instruments, noble trumpets and elegant French horns and sonorous euphoniums and jolly trombones and the occasional pompous tuba. And people came from all over the world to buy them and take them back and play them in their orchestras. And the master craftsman knew that his instruments gave great pleasure to many people. But he said to himself one day, "I would like an instrument that is for my pleasure, an instrument that no one else will buy." He looked around at all of the instruments who were so proud of themselves sitting on the shelves in his workshop, and he thought, "Not exactly like that." And he went back into the back of his workshop, and with a great deal of clanging and banging, there was a lot of activity, and finally he came out with a lead pipe and an aluminum drain funnel. And he held it tenderly in his hands, and he said, "This is perfect. I will call it my Flugelhorn." And he stood there for a moment, cradling the Flugelhorn, and the Flugelhorn was very happy to be held in these loving arms. And then the master said, "Now, my little friend, sing to me." So the Flugelhorn began. Said, What's wrong? I only have two notes. How can I sing music with only two notes?" And the master said, "Ah, my child, you always have more gifts that I have given you than you know. Imagine this, though, that sometimes we discover our gifts by letting go." Okay? Flugelhorn said, "Even with this preposterous face, I only have four notes." Looking around at all the other instruments, he said, "Look, they all have valves and slides and wonderful tubing. Could I have a little of that? Then I can play real music." And the master musician said, "Ah, my child, you will never know your beauty by comparing yourself with others. You do have a faucet." "That's not even a whole note." The little Flugelhorn was distraught. He said, "Look at me. I'm surrounded by all these beautiful brass instruments, and I'm ugly. I'm just a little lead pipe. I'm not an instrument. You're just making fun of me, and all those other instruments are laughing at me." And the master could not convince the little Flugelhorn that he was actually quite pleased with him. The little Flugelhorn refused to sing a note. And he sat there on the workbench in that workshop for days and refused to sing a single note, absolutely certain that the master craftsman was just making fun of him and the other instruments were just laughing at him. He couldn't bear it. And finally, he ran away. He went off on his own and left that little mountain village. He finally found work in a nearby estate, working with their hunting party. It was a perfect job for him. It was his two best notes. But it turns out that what the master had said to him was true. The master craftsman had put in him a spirit of music that could not be suppressed. Well, that wasn't the way it was done. And besides,
A lead pipe is extraordinarily difficult to carry on a horse. So they let him go. He walked out from the house dejected. As he walked through the garden, he thought, if only I had some valves or a slide or a little bit of tubing, I could play real music. And there he spied exactly what he needed. A little bit of garden hose. He went off by himself and experimented and thought, maybe this is what I need to make truly wonderful music. Why, yes. So pleased, and he marched off confident that he could find his way in the world of music. Well, he ended up doing what a lot of people do when they don't know what else to do. He joined the army, and he found his place in the Bugle Corps. The problem was, again, that spirit of music that the master craftsman had put in him, he could not get rid of. That wasn't the way it was done. And besides, the lead pipe is really not according to military specifications. So he was discharged. But he still knew he could make beautiful music. So he went on until he came to the big city. And there he discovered, in these little clubs, musicians who got together and played. And he played with them. And after a while, he got to be quite the jazz musician. He learned. He got better. And after a while, people came from all over to see the little lead pipes that played jazz. And he would play wonderful things, and they were so pleased with it. On and on it went. And afterwards, they would say to themselves, that's pretty good, not bad for a lead pipe. He hated to hear that. Because he didn't want to just be not bad for a lead pipe. He wanted to be a good musician. And he came to resent the fact that he was a lead pipe. He was in this awful place of wanting people to love him for who he was, and at the same time, hating who he was. He didn't know what to do about it, and then he remembered what the master craftsman had said, that sometimes we find our gifts by letting go. And he wondered if he could make beautiful music without the lead pipe at all. So he tried. A little nervous at first to see what it would be like. Better and better. People came, people listened, people loved it. He was finally free. He decided that instead of being known as a Flugelhorn, because he was free, he would call himself Freddy. Freddy met a lot of other musicians, including a cute little tin whistle. He really liked her. Her name was Penny. Freddie and Penny became very good friends. They were a beautiful duet. They made wonderful music together. And they really became very good friends. And after a while, Freddie realized how much Penny loved him. And he wondered if she would love him if he knew that he was actually a lead pipe. But he didn't want to find out, so he never told her. He never really thought about it. except that it kept gnawing at him in the back of his mind. He kept trying to ignore the fact that he was really a lead pipe, but it kept staying with him, and he actually wanted to be able to just be himself and not have to pretend. And the more that sadness sat in him, the more he tried to ignore it, it festered and became bitterness and anger. And it came out in his music. People didn't want to hear that. They stopped coming. He got more and more angry. He got in fights with other people. Nobody wanted him around. After a while, he couldn't get any more musical gigs. He just sat in his apartment by himself, feeling bad, and pretty soon he had no income at all. The only thing he could find was singing in a cathedral choir. Churches always seem to be desperate for men to sing. It wasn't exactly his kind of music, but it paid a little bit. He never saw his friends, never saw a penny, just sat alone. Now, the music director at the cathedral was a wise woman, and she suspected that somehow this little Freddy had more music in him than he was letting on. But she didn't know quite how to draw that out. One day she said to him, "You know, Freddy, we're doing a new cantata. And I would really love if you would sing with us, because we need more musicians. But I really am hoping for somebody who can play some lower notes. Can you sing any lower?" Now, little Flugelhorn didn't know if she knew that he was actually a lead pipe, but he knew that with his lead pipe, he could sing lower. But that would be hard. People would see his lead pipe. They would know. But that cantata paid a lot of money. And then he thought, you know, of all my friends in the jazz world, none of them go to church. They won't see me. I'll be all right. So he decided to do it. He went back to his apartment the day of the rehearsal. He dragged out that old lead pipe from under the bed where he'd stashed it, dusted it off. As he put it together, he realized he hadn't played that thing for a long time. He wasn't even sure he remembered how his 4.5 notes went, but that didn't matter. He still had his tubing, and he could play good stuff. When he got to the cathedral, it was quite a crowd of musicians that had gathered. And suddenly he realized that among them, there was Penny. He was terrified. She would see his lead pipe. He tried to hide it. He tried to pack up and sneak out the side down the aisle. But she saw him. And she ran after him and she said, "Freddy, where have you been? I've missed you so much. Oh, my friend, how are you?" And he said, "Look, I'm fine, but I gotta go, okay? Go away. And she said, No, I haven't seen you. Are you okay?" And she saw his lead pipe and she said, "Oh, is that yours?" No, he said, "It's not mine. I can't explain now, but I gotta go, okay? Go away. Well, she was terrified that he was treating her like that. She wouldn't go away because she loved him. And she kept hanging on to him as he tried to run out the door of the cathedral. She tried to put her arms around him and say, "Freddy, can we talk?" And he said, "No." And he pushed her and she stumbled backwards and fell down the steps of the cathedral, tumbled into a big pile at the bottom. And she looked up at him with such tears in her eyes, reaching up toward him, and he wanted so much to run down the steps and apologize and take her in his arms. But he froze right there and he realized he really was just a lead pipe, and not worthy even of penny. And just then, the church bells started to ring, and he was frozen with fear and with guilt, and he couldn't run down those steps. Instead, he did the only thing he knew how to do. He ran away. He ran as fast as his feet would take him, as the bells of the church faded in the distance. And he ran until he could run no more. He was too tired, and then he walked. And he kept walking. He didn't know where he was going until late in the day when he realized where his feet were taking him. He had nowhere else to go but home. The little Flugelhorn walked that long road back to the mountain village. A gentle spring rain began to fall, and he wished so much that the rain would just wash away his sorrow, but all it did was fill him up with water. He walked all day and long into the night. By the time he arrived in that little mountain village, the rain was falling quite hard, and he stood at last in the garden of the little workshop and wanted so much to just walk through that door and go inside, but he couldn't. He stood frozen in fear and sorrow out in the garden, and all he could do was quietly sob to himself. Even with the sound of the rain pounding on the roof, the master craftsman heard that voice. He knew exactly what it was. It was changed a little, but surely, with his little Flugelhorn, he came thumping down the steps and across the studio and out into the garden. And there he was, his little Flugelhorn, his friend. And he took him up in his arms and he said, "Oh, my friend, you're back. I've missed you so much. You were gone so long. Are you all right?" Of course, the little Flugelhorn couldn't say a word. And he brought him inside, and he cleaned him off and emptied the water out. And he said, "Ah, my little friend, I've missed you. Surely you've been on a long journey. You have stories to tell. Are you all right?" And still, the little Flugelhorn could not say a word, just trembled and felt the wondrous feel of the master craftsman arms around him. And finally, after a long time, the master said, "My little friend, you are tired and you need rest. You will rest, and in the morning we will talk." And he carefully laid him on the workbench, bid him good night. He blew out the candle, and he went upstairs to bed. Well, the little Flugelhorn sat on the workbench, and he could tell even in the dark that all those other instruments were probably laughing at him. He quietly cried himself to sleep, with the rain outside sobbing right along with him, the rain seeming to cry the Flugelhorn's tears. It cried with such passion. The rain rained down on the mountains, and it threaded together in little rivulets and gathered in the ravines, and they bunched together and braided up into little streams that poured into brooks that piled into the river. And the river rose as the rain fell, and it rose farther, and it rose up over the banks, and it flooded through the streets of the village, and it became a torrent and the flood battered open the doors of every little house and every building, even the workshop, and it blew open the door and the water rushed in and it broke open the windows and the rain and the wind came pouring in and they blew all the instruments off the shelves and the water swept them all away and crushed them in the mud and blew them out the door and they all were swept down the river and all night long the torrent blew right through the workshop and upstairs the poor master craftsman could do nothing to stop it. And he waited and waited through the thunderous noise and the terror of the night until finally in the morning, when the flood had subsided and the water all flowed away, the master craftsman came downstairs and there was nothing but mud. Every single instrument had been swept off its shelf and crushed and flowed down the river. There was nothing at all in the studio at all, except for what was too heavy to be swept away. A lead pipe. Just the lead pipe. The master craftsman took it up in his arms and said, "Oh, my little friend, my heart is broken now more than ever. I need for you to sing me your song." Well, the little Flugelhorn was terrified. He hadn't sung with only his lead pipe in so long he didn't remember what it sounded like. He couldn't even remember those 4½ notes. But the master craftsman looked at him with such love. And the little Flugelhorn could feel that love stirring in him. And so, trembling with fear, yet moved with love, the Flugelhorn began to sing. Master craftsman smiled such a lovely smile, and despite all his losses, was truly happy. And so was the Flugelhorn. The end.
I have lit candles for the prayers that you've been sending in. Prayers from Maggie for those who are homeless or in jail, who are in danger because of their lack of private space. A prayer from Adia for the end of the coronavirus. A prayer for Betsy Comstock's niece Carol and her husband Keith, who's dealing with a very aggressive cancer. Christy's prayer. please give us patience and compassion with our immediate families, our communities, our leaders, and our global neighbors. A prayer from John, for John and Annette, for a diagnosis for John's weak legs and for Annette, for her strength and patience as a caregiver. And for Benedicción de Dios in Altenango, Guatemala, a prayer from Marie. I add a special prayer today for Belinda Forbes in Nicaragua, for the ministries that she carries out. God, I pray for all the ways that each of us in this community serves in our own lives. We do not get to see each other. We don't get to see how our love affects others, but it does. And for that, we thank you. God, we open our hearts to your grace that we might always let your love flow through us. Amen.
We pray for those on our prayer calendar this week. Shauna, Haley, and Savannah Whalen. Barbara Wheeler. Gordon Witten. Michael, Connie, Jay, and Nathan Woolcock. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. We pray for those affected by COVID-19. For those who are sick, for healthcare workers, for those who must risk to work, for those who have lost jobs, for those who have lost loved ones. May your mercy and grace enfold them. This is my prayer. We pray for your church, that we may find new ways to stay connected, that we may deepen our sense of unity in the Spirit, that we may reach out in love to the world. May your grace guide us. This is my prayer. We pray for your justice in the world. As we see the inequities this pandemic has exposed in our society, we pray for the poor and for people of color. As we see those who take advantage of the chaos for economic and political gain, we pray for honesty, humility, and generosity to guide your people. May your Spirit energize us, God, to work for justice. This is our prayer. Dear God, we ask that you be with us as we continue our preparations to say goodbye to Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth, and to welcome our pastor, Janu, and his family, Haywan and Joshua. Change is always difficult, but we know that with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we will experience it together with Christian love and understanding. The St. Matthew's family has seen numerous changes in the last few years, and with you, we will continue to be a community striving to share your love in the world. And God, we ask that you be with the Garnis Holmes and Chun families. As difficult as change will be for us, it will be much harder on them. Give them the strength to face the coming changes with optimism and hope, knowing you will be with them every step of the way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus says, I will ask God who will give you a companion who will be with you forever, the Spirit that will be in you. Knowing that the Spirit of God is in us gives us deep peace, peace with God and with all other people, with all creation. The peace of Christ that we are given to share with all the world. The peace of Christ be with you. I imagine, and I invite you to imagine, the peace of Christ flowing out from us into all the world, and all of creation with joy and thanksgiving returning to us, the peace of Christ. How are we spreading that peace, Wayne?
Good morning. I'm going to talk to you this morning about JFON, which stands for Justice for Our Neighbors. JFON is a United Methodist Church ministry that provides free, high-quality legal services to low-income immigrants. A JFON clinic is a safe and confidential environment where immigrants get help to navigate the U.S. immigration system. There are 5 JFON clinics in Massachusetts. At these clinics, free legal advice is provided by 2 attorneys from the Northeast Justice Center. In 2019, the Lowell and Lawrence clinics took in 79 new clients. And before suspending in-person clinics in early March, due to COVID-19, had already seen 16 clients from 9 countries from the Americas and Africa, including 6 juvenile cases. These clinics plan to reopen as soon as it is safe to do so again. Meanwhile, the work goes on. Calls seeking assistance are answered, counsel is provided by phone, and ongoing cases continue. The JFON clinics provide many volunteer opportunities, from intake personnel to translators and hospitality workers. St. Matthew's has provided meals for several of the clinics. JFON relies on the generosity of churches and corporations. St. Matthew's has supported JFON through donations at immigration breakfasts, the festival of sharing, our budget, and most recently, our Easter offering. Thank you for your support for Justice for Our Neighbors.
Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, you have God's love in you. Let it flow. Sing the song God has put in your heart. Go in peace and serve God with joy. Amen. May the grace and peace of Christ be with you, my friend.